Be looking at God's.
Let me just get a connection there. I'll wait and see if this pulls up, but anyway, good morning. How's everybody doing? No, good morning. Seriously, hope you've enjoyed the weekend, and it's encouraging to see so many radiant mothers in the audience and children upholding them and lifting them up. Hopefully, many of you woke up to flowers or cards or breakfast in bed or any of that stuff. Or if we're real with ourselves, you just had a good morning, you know. but really, hopefully you've enjoyed the day and feel special today. Today's a day that as a nation we honor mothers, we honor wives, we honor those that have loved us, whether you're a biological mother or not. There are many mothers and many who have shown that kind of love and care and everything. And so as a church, not just as a nation, but as a church, I want to spend our thoughts together today looking at God's Word, looking at Proverbs 31 specifically, and seeing His principles and seeing His will for the honor that we are to show our wives, that we're to show our mothers and show the women who've loved us and that we love very dearly. So if you would, open up to Proverbs 31. Let's see. I just click and it just push. It's not working. Yeah. No dice with the controller. Oh, hang on. Let's try this. How's that? We got it. All right. Hopefully get those bugs out of the way. Let me just loosen up now and good to go. All right. So Proverbs 31, before we dig into the text and think about some of the principles that I want to focus on, I want to spend a little bit of time just thinking about the context. Proverbs 31 is one of the great chapters in the Bible. We tend to think of this as like the woman section, right? This is the instruction for women. But in reality, in the context, this is really wise counsel and exhortation and instruction for young men. Throughout Proverbs, young men are warned about certain women. You see this point in play, and I want to just show a few points that are identified. You see this warning against the adulteress or the strange woman, and that really dominates the first 9 chapters when you see these son speeches where the father and mother are warning their sons and giving them instructions. That's where you really see this warning against the adulteress. But you also see this warning against the beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Listen to Proverbs 11, verse 21. It says, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion." So if you can picture a pig down in the mud with this beautiful ring around its nose, he says, that's a beautiful woman that lacks discretion. So he warns us against the beautiful woman who lacks discretion. He also warns us against the brawling, contentious woman. You see some of these statements. He says, "A foolish son is destructive to his father. The contentions of his wife are a constant dripping. It's better to live in a corner of a roof than a house shared with a contentious woman. It's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. It's better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. A constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grasp oil with his right hand." And that's the point at which you imagine this father talking to his son and giving him this instruction. You hear this, he's like, "Dad, I got it, okay? A contentious woman, I'm gonna stay away." So you see that point is just really drilled. But you also see this other side where he upholds women and upholds God's woman and tells his son, this is who you want, this is who you want to seek. And so we see in 12:4, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones." But the crown of her husband. 18 and verse 22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And 19:14, "House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." And so the picture of God's woman, that's the crown on your head. That's favor from God. That's a gracious gift from God Almighty. And so there's quite the contrast. And so he finally, after these warnings, after these exhortations, at the end of the book, here's the picture of the woman that we've been talking about. Here's the woman now described in great detail. And so we find a living portrait of the kind of woman you can seek, you should seek. One who you can trust with all your heart. The one who will give you success and gain and prosperity. Ultimately, the one who fears the Lord. Another context observation, though, we want to observe is, ultimately, this woman pictured at the end of Proverbs 31 is the embodiment of wisdom. Beyond this specific instruction for men, this is an instruction for men and women. Any who are reading through this book, pursuing wisdom, seeking the wisdom that this book is promising. Throughout wisdom, in multiple occasions, you see wisdom personified as a woman. Early on, Lady Wisdom calls out, cries out to those to benefit from her. And so now at the end of the document, we're given a portrait of this excellent woman who's embodying all the principles of wisdom that you see described throughout the book. Let me give you just a few examples of this. This is a neat thing to see the connections, but I'll just point out a few examples. So you see wisdom, and there's this point throughout Proverbs about the emphasis of the value of hard work, contrasting that with lazy. And this is one of the chief characteristics of this woman in Proverbs 31. She's not lazy at all, but she's a diligent hard worker. You think about how often Proverbs warns us about our speech and the way we should talk and the words in which we choose. And yet we see this woman's speech is kind and gracious and instructive. You think about the value of wisdom multiple times throughout Proverbs, especially again in those first 9 chapters. There's this emphasis on the value of wisdom. And what do we see with this virtuous woman? Her worth is far above jewels, far above rubies. She has no lack of gain. And then probably the most significant connection that we see between this call to wisdom early on and the portrait of this beautiful woman is the connection between the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And what we see at the very end is, "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." And there's a lot more of these connections. I encourage you to just look into that sometime. It's really rewarding to kind of see the connections that are made. But what we're seeing is the Proverbs writer showing us a living, breathing illustration of the wisdom he's been calling all readers to apply. And so, as we see those points contextually, this is the point in the text, when we recognize that structure and recognize that framework, then we also see a model for a godly woman. This is a text that a woman who desires to please the Lord can go to for instruction, for inspiration. Let me say this, though. Far too often, this text becomes a discouragement to women. I think what we see is sometimes the things that are stated here are presented as this ideal that just no one can ever live up to. Or you'll see this woman is just thought of as some super mom that's out of touch with reality. And that's a shame that this text would cause that, because I think what we'll see is this is intended to do just the opposite. Rather than discourage, far from discouraging, what you see this text is designed to do is instruct, encourage, empower women who want to serve the Lord and bless their families. Now, certainly, if you're struggling with self-focus and selfishness, this text will be a rebuke. Will challenge you to think outside yourself and it will hurt a little bit. But if you fear the Lord, and if you really fear the Lord and trust Him, and your desire is to bless your family and bless others around you, I think what we'll find is this text again inspires, encourages, and empowers you to do just that, especially in our society when these values are often so twisted and perverted. And so let's read through this text together if we could. Proverbs 31, we'll read verses 10 through 31 again. "An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it's still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband's known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land. She makes linen garments and sells, supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles or laughs at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Do you have a picture in your mind of a woman you know that really just comes alive out of this page? I hope so. I hope by the end of this lesson, we see that and we say that. There's so much cool stuff in this poem. Just the poetry itself. There's a lot that we can gain just from analyzing the structure and the way this was written in the Hebrew language that could instruct us. There's so much in the symbolism that can instruct us. But for our purposes this morning, as much as I'd love to just go line by line and think through each step, what I want to do today anyway is just sort of step back and see this portrait and get an image in our mind and then draw some lessons from that. And so I want to think about the portrait of this godly woman. Let's see here. We had an agreement. Keep it up. All right. This portrait of a godly woman. And so I want to just think about her virtues for a second. So as we read this and step back and just look at what this text is describing, we see a woman who is trustworthy in every way. She's not lazy, but she's a diligent worker. She's driven. She's self-motivated. She's ready to wake up early when she needs to. And she works hard throughout the day. You see several points where you see her work ethic in play. She plans well and follows through. You know, those are two separate things when you think about it, the planning and the follow through. She's resourceful and industrious. Listen to some of the connections that you see there. In verse 13, what you see her doing is selecting these raw materials, the wool and the flax. And then by verse 19, she's grasping the spindle and the distaff and transforming these raw materials into cloth. In verse 21, we see she's made clothing for her household, for her family. Verse 22, she's made that same clothing for herself. And then by the time we get to verse 24, we see she's produced enough to then be able to sell some of the leftovers itself, some of the rhesus, and bring additional income in. Talk about resourcefulness. Talk about industry, where, again, starting with those raw materials, providing for your household, and then bringing some in. She's a capable and a kind manager. You see her providing those portions for her maidens in verse 15. She's a good steward, responsible with money, responsible with other resources. She's a careful spender. In other words, she's not out there just racking up credit card debt. She's also a wise investor, so she's watching what goes out of the household carefully, but she's also careful to see what can come in. As a wise investor, she provides income, as we saw a moment ago. She's frugal, but generous. Notice how her hands are reached out to the poor and the needy. So you see that carefulness not to just spend like crazy, but generosity that accompanies that as well. So frugal but generous. She's frugal, but also enjoys the fruit of her labor. Notice the food she brings from afar. Notice the way she's clothed in fine linen. So again, you see the care with what she spends, but at the same time, she can enjoy the fruit of her labor. You see she rolls up her sleeves and she's not afraid to get dirty when you think about girding herself with strength in verse 17. But at the same time, she cleans up nice. Again, think about the way she's dressed in verse 22. She doesn't complain. She doesn't nag. Rather, she finds joy and fulfillment in her work. She speaks and teaches with wisdom and kindness. And just think about her speech. Think about the instruction that she provides. She's careful. She's unselfish. And she's strong. Notice the emphasis of strength in this passage. She girds herself with strength. She is strong, is the picture that we see here. So we see these various virtues, and I'm sure there's so many more we could see as we step back and look at the woman that's described here. But I want to really focus on her focus. I want us to see her focus. Notice the priority here. It's God. She fears the Lord. That's foundational to everything. And then you see the emphasis on her husband. Her husband will have no lack of gain. In verse 23, when he sits among the elders in the land, he's known, he's respected, he has honor. But then you see her children are blessed, they're provided for, and then others she comes in contact with, whether it be her maidens in verse 15, whether it be the poor and the needy in verse 21, she's focusing on them as well. That's so important to see that focus in this text. There's little mention of self, except that she'll be praised as a result of all these efforts. Notice she receives praise, but praise is not the goal. Praise is a byproduct. Praise is a fruit of her labor. Unlike the worldly woman, she's not selfish. She's not self-focused. Her goal is the success of her husband, proper instruction and provision for her children, the well-being of her household, and that the Lord be pleased, that the Lord be pleased with her. Her focus is the key here. Her focus is the key to her success. This is not meant to be a list of just overwhelming, unattainable, discouraging skills. You know, sometimes we just look at this and say, man, she's like a walking, living Pinterest board. But the reality is that the skills that you see her employing, that's not the purpose. The main point is her focus, because it's the focus, you see, that's leading to all this diligent effort and diligent activity. The portrait of the kind of diligent activity that follows someone who first fears the Lord and cares about other people. And this is the kind of stuff that you'll see produced. And so when you see her virtues, you see her focus, can you not help but just appreciate her value? Truly, such a woman is valuable. Her worth is far, far above jewels. Truly, such a woman is rare. Not impossible to find, but when he says, who can find, he's not saying, well, it's a lost cause. His point is, she's rare. And the rest of Proverbs tells us that. Again, we recognize these other kinds of women, the adulteress, the contentious woman, the one who lacks discretion. So there's a rareness here. And that just adds to the value that much more. Truly such a woman is the crown of her husband. Truly such a woman is a gracious gift from God and deserves our forever thanksgiving. And so we see these aspects in the text. And I want to just step back again and just think about some concepts. Think about some principles that we can take home with us and really sort of chew on from this text. One of the things I just want to point out is this is not the traditional housewife. You think about our society and all the erroneous concepts that are associated with the idea of housewife. You know, you've got one extreme with the June Cleaver on one side, and then you've got the desperate housewives or the real housewives of whatever large city you want to insert there. And I mean, those are two extremes that still don't capture what's being described here. This text challenges that traditional housewife model that's prevalent in our culture and even slips into our religious culture. This text challenges the world's view of the, quote, stay-at-home mom. What we see in Proverbs 31 is she's working inside the home and outside the home. You think about the way she's engaging the community in different ways. She's a capable manager. She manages finances, resources, children, and servants. She serves her husband, serves her children, serves the poor in her community. She's not just busy for the sake of busyness. She's not just busy because she craves a creative outlet. She's active. She's diligent because she's focused on other people. And fundamentally, she fears the Lord. Again, this is the key to her focus. This is the larger point in all of Proverbs. She fears the Lord, and such a woman should be praised. I want to think about this for just a second, the idea of joy in the home. I want to say, wives, mothers, recognize you do so much to set the tone for the home. We recognize what the scriptures teach, that the husband is the head, and the husband is to lead with love. But at the same time, we recognize the practical wisdom and warning in Proverbs that we see where we recognize the great potential for misery associated with the contentious woman, but the great potential for amazing blessing for this kind of woman who fears the Lord and trusts in the Lord. We've all heard the phrase, you know, if mama ain't happy, nobody happy, you know, however you want to say that. You know, it's funny because it's true, but it's sad because it's true. And too often, it's really sad. Too often, that's what we see. Too often, wives and moms aren't walking by the Spirit, but are really more self-focused. And as a result, love, joy, peace is tragically absent from homes. And so again, recognize how this text can empower you women to really set the tone for your home to be one of love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. Remember again some of these verses here. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That's the picture here in Proverbs 31. Wives, allow your gentle and quiet spirit to fill your homes with joy and peace. Love your husbands. Love your children. Don't wallow in self-focus and self-pity, but focus on others. I want to think about this idea of true beauty for just a second. Satan has worked hard to poison and pervert the way we view beauty. In our culture, in our lives, he's opened the door for insecurities. He's opened the door to wrong thinking in so many women, so many even Christian women. And the thoughts, the comments, the actions of most guys don't help at all. In fact, they just make things worse. The world's view of beauty that emphasizes outer appearance and fashion and superficial qualities is so shallow. It's so vain, so deceitful, it's so unfulfilling, it's so short-lived. And in most cases, it's not real. It's been airbrushed. It's a complete scam and hoax. Consider again God's view of beauty. He said in verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. You know, her adornment is her character, that strength, that dignity. Verse 30, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Listen to what some of the New Testament writers say. Peter in 1 Peter 3, your adornment must not be external, braiding the hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit which is precious in the sight of God. And then what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, likewise women adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Now, these passages aren't condemning outer beauty, aren't condemning fashion or anything like that, but the warning's not against outer adornment, but rather what we see, the warning is against outer adornment without inner substance. And what he's telling us to do is focus on the inner substance. Let that be what stands out. Let that be what we're attracted to and what we seek and what we pursue. And so men and women, I urge you, don't be conformed to this world when it comes to our view and our perception of beauty and value. Be transformed to God's view of beauty. Focus on that inner person, that quiet spirit, that strength, that dignity, those good works that God calls us to do. Let's seek what God seeks. Let's find value in what God values. Let's honor what God honors. And in so doing, let's uphold our wives, our mothers, those that we love so dearly, to encourage them in the Lord. I want us to think about this for just a second. Sisters. Talking about sisters in Christ for just a second. One of the other temptations that Satan tends to just throw at ladies so often is the temptation for jealousy and bitterness and insecurity that comes when we compare ourselves to one another. Let me just say this. Ladies, you're on the same team. You aren't competing with one another. You shouldn't compare with one another. You shouldn't judge one another. You shouldn't be jealous of one another. If you find a strength in another sister, rather than bitterness, rather than jealousy, rather than insecurity, try love. Try humility. Ask for help. And give one another support. Certainly, if you're not doing what you should do, repent. Don't let bitterness and insecurity take over. Just repent and do what you should do. Certainly, if you're being lazy or self-focused, repent. But if your focus is where it should be, again, we saw her focus. If your focus is where it should be and you're struggling, find a support system in your sisters, in your peers, in the older women who've been there, just as Titus instructs older women to teach younger women. Find a support system in one another. Again, rather than jealousy, bitterness, and discouragement because you don't have what your sister has, utilize one another's strengths. Help one another. Learn from one another. Ultimately, be devoted to serving your husband, serving your family, and serving your Lord. But we can do it together. And that's part of God's design. All right, guys, it's your turn. Husbands, trust your wives. It says the heart of her husband trusts in her. Don't micromanage. Don't nitpick. Trust your wives. Chelsea's stepped out, so this is good for me. I can relax a little bit. I can be a bit of a perfectionist. Had to for my last job. Big picture attention, had to pay attention to every little detail. It's hard to turn that off. And there are just things in life when you get home that don't matter. And yet it's easy to just focus on things that don't matter and be a perfectionist and just drill things and just not be encouraging. Trust your wives. Let the leash go. You look at the things this woman's doing here and the freedom this husband has to do what he needs to do because he trusts his wife, allows her to do all these things. He's not over her head, over her shoulders, bearing down on her. And they have a beautiful relationship. He's praising her. He's lifting her up. And she's blessing him. Trust your wives. And husbands, praise your wives. Praise your wives. Give her praise. See every strength. Don't see every flaw. Tell others what she's doing. But most importantly, tell her what she's doing. Sometimes we can forget that. We can talk about how great our wives are to other people. But she needs to know that too. She needs that reinforcement. She needs that building up. Some men don't even say thank you after a meal. That's pathetic. But this text calls us to do more than that. This text calls us to do more than just say thank you after a meal, but to build her up and praise her for all she does, for her love, for her focus, for her support. And then you think about this. You think about what he says in terms of praise there. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. I mean, I'll say, most of you wives in the audience do all right. But Chels is by far so much greater. And I hope that every husband in here would take me to task on that and say just the same thing about their own wives. If we're going to have a competition, I think this is the grounds for us to compete with one another. That I'm going to stand my ground and say, my wife's better than your wife, and you're going to stand your ground and say, your wife's better than my wife, and I'll back off Justin a little bit and give him a little more room to say what he's going to say. But we ought to believe that. If we don't, there's probably a problem with my focus. Maybe my wife would need to make some changes. That happens. We recognize the reality of it. Oftentimes, the problem's with me. Being a perfectionist, focusing on things that don't matter at all, nitpicking, being a micromanager, doing all those stupid things that we tend to do when we're focusing on ourselves. Husbands, praise your wives. Build her up. That's the fruit. That's the reward for her labor that she deserves for her love for you, her love for your children, her love for the Lord. That's what this text is calling us to do. And husbands, teach your children to praise. Husbands, praise your wives, but teach your children to do the same things. Never let your child talk back or disrespect their mom. You draw a line in the sand as far as that goes. You never allow that or tolerate that. Teach them how to honor and respect their mother in your example, in your deliberate instruction as well. And think about the fruit of this endeavor, not only in this immediate situation as far as the benefit this gives your wife, their mother, but think about how this equips them for the future. And if you're teaching your sons to praise their mom, what are you teaching your sons to do to their wives when they grow up and they get older? You're teaching them to show that same honor and respect and love and encouragement for their own wives. What about your daughters? Think about that. If you're teaching your daughter to do the same thing and showing this with your daughter, you're teaching her to pursue the kind of man that would show this kind of honor and show this kind of respect to women sincerely, not just flattery, not just this superficial reaction, but someone who has this kind of character. And so husbands, teach your children to do the same thing. Lead your household in the praise of your wife. And so wives, if you have a deadbeat husband who doesn't trust you, who doesn't praise you, who doesn't ultimately love you as God has called him to love you, find strength and comfort in the Lord. You be who you need to be no matter what. You fear the Lord. You focus on your character. Continue to focus on serving the needs of others. Don't wallow in selfishness. Don't allow Satan to get his foothold on you there. Continue to respect and honor your husband. Draw strength from the examples of godly women. I think about Sarah, I think about Hannah, I think about Ruth, Abigail, all those women who struggled with various things but found strength in the Lord and became such bright spots to those around them. Draw strength from our Lord. And husbands, don't be a deadbeat. Don't be a Nabal. He was described as a worthless fellow. And just read that in 1 Samuel 25 and look at his character. Don't be that. Trust your wife. Praise your wife. Build her up. Love her. You make sure your children build her up and praise her and love her. You do what you need to do to help her grow in the Lord. You emphasize the value of true beauty. And let's not be a stumbling block or be a discouragement by focusing on worldly values. Stop looking at other women. Stop lusting after other women. Love what God loves. Honor what God loves. And let's uphold our wives. Let's uphold our mothers. Love that hidden person of the heart. Let's go to God in prayer. Our great Father in heaven, you are wise beyond our measure. You are the source of all knowledge and wisdom. The secrets to this life of success and prosperity and blessing and joy and peace and how gracious that you have given us your wisdom that we can seek it and receive it. Help us to grow. Help us to truly fear you, stand in awe of you, and give you the absolute reverence that you deserve and the obedience that you deserve. And in that, may we grow in our wisdom, and may you be glorified. Father, we thank you so much for the women in our lives that mean so much to us. We're so thankful for this amazing gift that you have given, the gift that you provided. What a tremendous blessing, and we praise you and thank you so much for your graciousness in this. Help us as husbands, as sons and daughters, to uphold those that we love so dearly, to show them the love and the care, to show them respect, show them honor, show them thankfulness, and do what we can to support them and help them to grow closer to you. Please be with our wives. Please be with our mothers. Help them not to be discouraged, but help them to be empowered and encouraged to serve you faithfully, to serve others around them, and in that you receive glory. Help each of us here to walk away today from our time together as family, to be strengthened and built up and more equipped to go out in this world and be lights to give you glory. Thank you so much for Jesus, for his example, his instruction, for his sacrifice, for the victory over sin and death that we receive through him. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're not in Christ, we want to encourage you to come to Jesus, to recognize that all the guilt, all the sin, all the weight that you're carrying around can be removed. Jesus died a horrific death, and in that showed us great love and sacrifice in order to raise us up and give us a chance to live our lives to please God and serve Him. And we have that freedom to do so. And we want to encourage you to come to Christ if we can do anything to help you, teach you. If you're ready to be baptized, we want to do that as well. And if you're in Christ and struggling with anything, we want to help you in that as well. We want to pray for you, encourage you, do whatever we can to come alongside, help you walk in the Lord. If you need any help, please come forward as we stand and sing.